Everybody had a good 2016 so far? See, even if you didn't say yes, you can still say yes. Because it doesn't matter what's happened so far in 2016. Every day we can expect His good things. Every day we should be expecting His promises. Every day we should be doing what we can do to lay hold of, to procure all of those good things and those promises that He has for us. That again, that we can revel in those things, but that we can bring glory to His name. That's what our purposes are. Amen? So last week, we began to look at and consider what our duty is before Him. And we did look at that very simple, yet that very powerful quotation. That quote, which we already talked about, the duty is ours, but the results are God's. The duty is ours, but the results are God's. Now we saw last week that that word duty in the Bible, that word duty refers to our service unto Him. It refers to every single person's service unto Him. When we looked at that in the Old Testament, we saw that that service was associated with the service that is rendered by the priests and the Levites in their temple service. Then we also looked at it, and when we consider or we look at that service through the lens of the New Covenant and the New Testament, we found that we as believers in Jesus Christ, we are all living stones being built. Each one of us is being built into a spiritual house, this temple of today. We are a royal priesthood, and we have priestly duties to perform as long as we are in these temples of this flesh. We then read from John 6, verse number 29, and we read Jesus' own words, Jesus' words, when He said to us, we learned from Him, what is our service? What is our work? What is the duty that we have before Him? Our duty is to believe in Him. It's to cleave to trust in, to rely on, and to have faith in Him, to believe in Him. Our duty is to believe in Jesus, to believe in His Word, and to believe in the promises that are ours in the Word. That is our duty, to believe in Him. You know, the results are not our responsibility. The pressure is not on you for the results of His Word. All we have to do, regardless of what we see, we just continue to believe His Word, to act on His Word, and to speak His word in faith. This is our duty. The results, then, are His. The duty is ours. The results are His. My duty, your duty, every day is to believe in Jesus Christ, His word, and His promises. That is what our duty is. Now, that duty, the hardest time to do that duty, the hardest time for us to fulfill and complete that duty, to believe in Him, the hardest time to do that, to believe in Him, to cleave to Him, to trust in Him, to rely on Him, and to have faith in Him, the hardest time to do that is when the circumstances of this natural world appear to be contrary to what the Word says and to what we're believing for. You know, when we see or we're not seeing, when we do not see the results of His Word, when we stand on the Word, but we don't see the results of His Word, it's hard for us to continue to do our duty, which is to believe and to believe in Him. And maybe the best example we have of this is from John the Baptist. So let's look at John the Baptist. Man, you guys got all really serious. Do I have a serious look in my face? Do I? So there you go. Good answer. This is Mark chapter 1, verses 2 through 5 from the Amplified Bible. Just as it is written in the prophet Isaiah, "Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will make ready your way. A voice of one crying in the wilderness, shouting in the desert, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make His beaten tracks straight, level, and passable.' John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, the desert, preaching a baptism, obligating repentance, a change of one's mind for the better, heartily amending one's ways, an abhorrence of his past sins, in order to obtain forgiveness of and release from sins. And there kept going out to him continuously all the country of Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And they were baptized by him in the river Jordan as they were confessing their sins. Now, when you read all that, do you think it's clear to John what his duty was? John understands. John believes that Jesus is the Messiah. And John also believes that he's the one that is to make ready the way for Jesus Christ. John understands who he is. John understands his role. John believes those things. John is the one who preaches the word. He preaches repentance. He baptizes the people. He prepares their hearts to receive the Messiah who's about to be revealed to them. John clearly understands what his role is. John does his duty, and he does his duty really well. And we can see that by verse number 5 that we just looked at. It says that the multitudes, they came out to him from all of Judah. They came out to John the Baptist in the remote desert areas from all of Judah to receive the word, to repent, and to be baptized. John did his duty. We know what our duty is. John knew what his duty was. John did his duty. He fulfilled his role in obedience. John is the one who demonstrated all those things. He did his role because John knew. He was prepared his entire life, prepared to fulfill that prophesied role. He was the one that knew he was supposed to be the one to prepare the way for Jesus Christ. He knew that he was the one that was spoken of by Isaiah. When Isaiah said, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness." John knew that that was him. You know, if somebody came up to you today and said, "You know what, I know that this verse from the Word of God, I know that that relates to me," what would our response be? That takes some serious faith to know that you are the one that was spoken of by the Word of God. John did that. John realized who he was. Let's look at that verse in Isaiah chapter 40, verse number 3. "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God." Just imagine the faith that it takes to believe. Imagine the faith that it takes to know that you are the one that that verse is talking about. But John had been prepared by the Holy Spirit from the time of his birth. John had been prepared to fulfill his role, to do his duty, to become the one that was to prepare the way. He did his duty. And John is the one that got to experience one of the most amazing moments in man's relationship with Father God. John's the one that got to see what we see in John chapter 1, verse number 32. "And John bore witness saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him." I mean, we read through that so quickly. Just think about that. John got to see the Holy Spirit. He saw the Holy Spirit like a dove descending upon him. You know, we have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. He got to see the Holy Spirit. I mean, I haven't really thought about this. I haven't really thought this through, but think about it. I don't think there's anyone else in the history of mankind that can say that. Even on the day of Pentecost, it says that the Spirit appeared like flames of tongue. They saw the evidence of the Holy Spirit. John, who did his duty, got to see the Holy Spirit. John is a man of faith. John is a man that understands what his duty is. John is a man that did his duty. This is the example that we get from John. John did his duty. He prepared the hearts of the people. He even baptized Jesus Christ. What an amazing man, right? What amazing faith he demonstrated. But we also see from the life and from the story of John the Baptist, we also see that even when we do our duty in this fallen world, there's going to be moments when we face circumstances that appear contrary to the word. We will, in this life, in this fallen world, we will face circumstances that appear that bring us, that bring discouragement and bring doubt to us. Even John the Baptist, even John who knew who he was, John who was the voice who prepared the way for Jesus Christ, even John, when faced with a situation that appeared contrary to what the Word of God said, even John doubted. John is the one that he found himself in prison by Herod. Because John stood for the Scriptures. He stood on the Word of God. He stood on the Word of God. He defended the Word, and he wound up in prison. That's not what John had pictured. And when John, this man of great faith, John, this man who did his duty, John, who knew who he was, John, who had great faith, John, who had seen these great things, even John, when faced with situations or circumstances that were contrary, John doubted. And that's what we see from John. And we're going to look at Jesus' response in just a minute, but here's the most important question for this morning. Have you ever stood on the Word of God and then experienced results that were contrary to the Word of God? Have you ever stood on the Word of God and you believed in Him? And then the results, and remember, the results are His. The duty is ours. The results are His. Ever stood on the Word of God and you saw results that appeared to be contrary to the Word of God when you stood and you believed them? Ever been in that place? Yeah. We've all been there. We've all seen that. It's a hard place to be. It's where John the Baptist was. It's a place that brings us to confusion. It's a place that brings us, it leads us to ask the question, why is the Word not working? I mean, it leads us to ask the question, can I trust in His promises? That's what the flesh does when we're in those situations. And that's the example that we see from John as well. When we come to that place in our lives, when we come to that place where the situation, where the circumstances appear contrary, we are in the same prison of doubt and uncertainty that John was. And we need to escape from that prison. But how can we do that when the results of our doing our duty appear to be opposed to the Word of God? How do we do that? We find the answer in what Jesus spoke, what His response was to John the Baptist when John was going through that time. So John the Baptist, this is what it looks like from John in prison. John is in prison. John is experiencing things that are contrary to what he's believing. And John begins to wonder, is Jesus the Messiah after all? That's the question that John is asking. Look, we see that again. Look at Matthew, verse number 11, or chapter 11, verse number 2. And when John had heard in prison about the works of Jesus, he sent two of his disciples, and he said to him, are you the coming one, or do we look for another? That is stunning to me. John, the man who boldly knew what his role was in God's kingdom plan. John, the one who knew that he was the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy. John, the one who preached repentance. He preached the word. He prepared the hearts of the people. John is the one who prepared the hearts of the people to have Jesus Christ revealed to them. John, who actually baptized Jesus the Savior. He saw the Holy Spirit descend upon Jesus. He heard the voice of God saying about Jesus, you are my beloved Son. In you, I am well pleased. This same John, when faced with contrary situations, with contrary results, with seeing something contrary opposed to the Word of God, this same John wondered, did I miss it? John even sent from prison, he sends two of his disciples to go to Jesus and ask Jesus, are you the one that was prophesied about? Are you the Messiah? Or should we be looking for another one? That is shocking to me from this man of faith. But this is what happens. This is what contrary evidence, this is what contrary results to the Word of God, this is what they can do to the flesh if we allow them to do that. John is an example to us. Now, look at Jesus' response. Because John had doubts. When John was faced with results that didn't live up to what he expected from doing his duty, when John faced those things, he had doubts. By the same token, in the same way, we can find ourselves in the same prison that John was in, the same prison of doubts and uncertainty. We can find ourselves in that exact same place. But this is why we need to know and understand what Jesus said, what his response was. Because when the circumstances of life tell us something that is different than the word that we're standing on, when the circumstances of life tell us something different than the word that we're speaking, when the circumstances of life tell us something different than the word that we're believing in, we need to hear Jesus' response to John the Baptist. We find that in Matthew chapter 11. We're going to read verses 1 through 11. Am I going too fast? I told myself this morning, go slow. Let people take notes. Then I got all excited. Matthew chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. No, Matthew chapter 11, verses 1 through 11. Now it came to pass when Jesus finished commanding his 12 disciples that he departed from there to teach and to preach in their cities. And John had heard in prison about the works of Christ. He sent two of his disciples, and he said to him, "Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?" Jesus answered and said to them, so he's saying this to the two disciples of John, "Go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me." As they departed, Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John. So Jesus has said these things to John's disciples and sent them on their way to go tell that message to John the Baptist. After those disciples are gone, this is what Jesus says to those who are assembled. He says to them, I lost my place. Seven? All right. As they departed, Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John, "What did you go out in the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? But what did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft garments? Indeed, those who wear soft clothes are in kings' houses. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I say to you, and before your face..." Did I skip a part? I sure did. "Yes, and I say to you, more than a prophet, for this is he of whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. Assuredly, I say to you, among those born of women, there is not risen one greater than John the Baptist. But he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." Isn't that interesting? I mean, he tells John's disciples one thing, and then once they're gone, he tells those who are assembled, this is who John the Baptist is. John the Baptist is the greatest man that was born of a woman up until now. That's who John the Baptist is. But you who are the least in the kingdom of God are greater than John the Baptist. So Jesus had just commissioned. So to go back to the start of the story, Jesus had just commissioned his 12 disciples. He commissioned them in the power and the authority of his name, and he sends them out. And then it says that Jesus is preaching and teaching in their cities. So he sent them out, and now he is going into their cities, and he is teaching and he is preaching. And then it says in verse number 1 that as he's teaching and preaching, that's when these two disciples of John come, and they come to seek an answer for John from Jesus. Is Jesus the Messiah? Now, I want to emphasize the fact. I want you to see exactly what Jesus is doing when these two disciples arrive. Jesus is teaching. So teaching, according to the Greek definition, teaching is giving instruction from the Word from the very mouth of Jesus. Remember that. It also said that he was preaching by definition in the Greek, preaching means a heralding. It means to proclaim the word before. It means to proclaim the word ahead. That's what Jesus was doing. And remember those two things, because that's what Jesus is doing. That's what's taking place. Now, let's go back and look at verse number 2 again. This is the third time we've seen this, so this is important. And when John had heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples. So John in prison hears about the works of Jesus Christ. Now, this is fascinating to me, because the word that we see there for works, that is the exact same word that we read last week when we read John chapter 6, verse number 29. It is when Jesus himself taught us, when Jesus himself by his own words said, this is what our duty is. This is what our service is. This is what our works that are expected of God. This is the same word that we see with John. And that word is tied closely to faith. And not just closely to faith, but that word works is tied closely to faith, which is accompanied by actions. This is our duty to Jesus Christ, just as it was John's. Our duty is to believe in Jesus Christ, to believe in his word, and to believe in his promises. That is what our duty is. Our duty is to believe in those things and then to apply action to that faith. We are to put action to it. We are to cleave to. We are to trust him. We are to rely upon. We are to put our faith in him and in his word despite what it is that you see. Does that make sense? This is what our duty is. This is our duty to him. Our duty is to believe in him, to believe in his word, and to believe in his promises. The results then belong to God. Look at the next verse, verse number 3. Again, remember, John had sent these two disciples to Jesus to ask and find out, is he the Messiah? And said to him, so here's the two disciples, and said to him, John's words, are you the coming one, or do we look for another? John is essentially asking the same question that we ask when we are in that prison of doubt and uncertainty. John is saying, as we say, can I trust in his promises? Can I believe in his promises? Because when we stand on the word of God, when we speak the word of God, but then we experience results that are contrary to the word of God, we feel like we're in a prison. In fact, we feel like we're in solitary confinement. Because this is spiritually isolating. It causes us to ask the question, why is this happening to me? This is exactly the same thing that John himself is feeling. But Jesus is about to give to the disciples of John and to give to you and I the keys that will set us free from that prison of doubt and uncertainty. This is what he says. What Jesus says back to John is, stay on the word. Stay on the word. Don't stop standing on the word and don't stop speaking the word until the results line up with what the word says. Don't stop standing on the word and don't stop speaking the promises that are in the word until your situation, until the results line up with what this says. Because it doesn't matter what it looks like right now. As long as I continue to speak this word, listen, the word, I might be leaving and saying something here, and the results may be over here. But as long as I continue to speak that word, to stand on the word and speak the word, there is only one inevitable conclusion. The only possible conclusion, if I do that, is the circumstances will eventually line up with the word of God. Jesus says, stay on the word. This is the word that he has for us as well. Now, let's go down and look at verses 4 and 5. Jesus answered and said to them, go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Jesus is telling the disciples of John, he's saying, go back and report to John these things, which obviously they have observed while they are there with Jesus. as Jesus is sharing with this crowd. They're obviously seeing all these things happen. As they're there waiting to ask their question or having asked their question, they're seeing Jesus preach, and they're seeing the blind see, the deaf hear. They're seeing the dead raised. They're seeing all of those things. And this is what Jesus said. Go back and report these things that you see. Report these things back to John the Baptist. Jesus is giving John, he's answering John's doubts with the Word of God. Because the response that he just gave to the disciples, what did he say to the disciples? They said the word, they said, Jesus, are you the Messiah? And he says back to them, the Word of God. He doesn't say, yes, I'm the Messiah. He doesn't say, John is the greatest man, not to them. He doesn't say, John is the greatest man born of women up until this time. No, what he says is, tell John what you see. And what they saw, blind see, deaf hear, lame walk, dead are raised. They see these things. What Jesus gave to John's disciples to take back to John was the Word of God. Because what he gave them, all of those things that Jesus just said, what he gave them was the Word. Because that's a direct reference to Isaiah chapter 35, verses 5 and 6. Let's look at that. Isaiah 35, 5 and 6. You guys all still with me? Is this making sense? Because if not, I'll go back and start over again. This is what Isaiah 35, verses 5 and 6 say. Somebody said, all right, I like that. Was you? Was that you, Al? Al. Okay. We'll start again from Al. You guys ready? Let's stand up and praise and worship. Then the eyes of the blind. So again, remember, Jesus just said these words to John's disciples and said, go back and tell John this. And what he said is a direct reference. Listen to what Jesus said, and then listen to what Isaiah said. Isaiah said prophetically about the Messiah, then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing, for water shall burst forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. Now, we can see by reading that quickly that some of those things directly correlate. But as we compare those things, we will see that it's a direct correlation to the things that Jesus had said. Jesus alleviates the doubts of John the Baptist by giving him the Word. The Word is the only thing that will set us free from the prison of doubt and uncertainty that comes when we experience circumstances or we experience results that are contrary to the Word that we're believing in. The Word is the only thing that will set us free from that. So why did Jesus say those words to John? Because Jesus knew that John understood Isaiah. He gave him the Word of Isaiah. John knew Isaiah. John knew that he was the fulfillment of a prophetic word from Isaiah. So that when John hears this report about the works that Jesus is doing, and the works that Jesus is doing are the works that Isaiah had said the Messiah would do, when John hears that report, John's question is answered by the Word of God. Jesus gave him the Word to alleviate and remove his doubts. It is the Word. That's why we stand on the Word. You stand, you stand, you stand until the circumstances line up with what the Word says, with what the Word tells us. Jesus could have very easily said to John's disciples, he could have said, go back and tell John what he was just about to say to all those who were gathered there. But again, he didn't say this until after John's disciples left. He could have said, but he didn't. He didn't say about John that he's the greatest man born of a woman up until this time. No, he gave John the Word of God instead, because that was his very best. Jesus is the Word. He gave John his very best. It's the same Word and the same answer that Jesus gives us when we're going through those same times that John went through. Jesus said to John's disciples, go tell John, the blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk, the waters burst forth. What does that mean? Jesus is the living waters. Jesus is the Word. He's the Word which bursts forth on all of those people as he's preaching the Word. And those disciples of John witnessed that. They saw that and they experienced it. Why is Jesus saying? Because Isaiah didn't mention the lepers. Why is Jesus talking about the lepers? Lepers, because of their disease, we've talked about this before, because of their disease, lepers have, they're insensitive. They can no longer sense touch and feeling. They're insensitive to feeling and to touch. So lepers spiritually represent those who are spiritually insensitive to God. But now with Jesus, now everyone can see God the Father through Jesus Christ. They are awakened spiritually. And with that renewed awareness, that renewed spiritual sensitivity to God, all of these people who are listening to Jesus, all of them can speak and sing words of praise to the Lord, unlike ever before. Jesus Christ fulfilled every one of Isaiah's prophecies about the Messiah. He filled them all. But because Jesus is a God of abundance, Jesus always gives more than what we need or what we ask. This is who Jesus is. And this is why our expectation should always be for more. Because Jesus is a God of abundance, Jesus gives the disciples of John one more thing, one more demonstration. He shows them the raising of the dead. Isaiah didn't even talk about that. Jesus does this just to show who he is, to show that he's the Word. He fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, and he exceeded beyond the prophecy of Isaiah. And it represents the new life in Jesus Christ. Jesus answered every one of John's doubts by the Word of God, by giving the Word. Stay on the Word. Stay on the Word at all times. We're going to talk more about this next week, but between now and then, remember this. When Jesus was speaking to all those people, when he was speaking to the multitudes, what was he doing? The one thing was, he was teaching. Teaching, remember, is giving that spiritual wisdom. It's giving that wisdom of the Word through his own voice. It is the instruction of the Word from his own voice. Speak the Word of God no matter what you see. Even when the results of your life are contrary to the promises, speak the Word of God. Because it is his Word. It is his Word from his mouth to yours. Speak the Word of God. The second thing that we saw is that Jesus was preaching. Preaching, again, in that definition, preaching meant the heralding. It means proclaiming the word before, proclaiming the word of God ahead. Speak the power of the word of God ahead of you. Speak the word, the power of the word of God ahead of you, even when you're not seeing the results of his word. You continue to speak the word of God ahead of you, beyond your current circumstances and situation. Somebody should have said amen like you understood that. That was really like a good point. Remember this. Our duty is to believe in Jesus Christ, to believe in Jesus and to believe in his word and his promises. Our duty is to cleave to trust in, to rely on, and to have faith in Jesus and in his word, to believe his word and his promises. Continue to believe his word and speak his word until our circumstances line up with the promises that his word gives us. Amen? Yes, because you should say that, because all of us have situations and circumstances that we are right now going through which may not appear to be lining up with the word of God. But that's why. This is what Jesus did. Because that can give us a place of doubt and uncertainty. But Jesus answers that with the word of God. So we believe, we continue to believe, we continue to speak his word until our circumstances line up with what his word says. The duty is ours. The results are God's. And he is faithful. Amen? Amen. Let's stand up and praise him. If you believe that today, let's really praise him from our hearts.